College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giller, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh today. And joining us right now in studio is Elliott Shore Park, sponsored, of course, by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott, welcome back.
Man, it's good to be back. This is my first time on the air since I've been back. So excited to obviously debate Jalen.
Well, that's what we do around
here. I mean, so excited to get into it.
So you didn't miss anything because that's where you left, and then we're back and we're doing the same thing.
So I was in Wales, London, Luxembourg, and Portugal. And each stop, I'm just checking Twitter, seeing what people are saying about Jalen.
Yeah, I mean, that's going on.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you are.
So we have a lot to get to here. It is quarter century week. We'll get to that. We want to get your take on the swing off that ended the home run derby. But I want to start here. And I didn't even tell you I was going to go here, but it's on your mind anyway. So where are you on the lists that are coming out with Jalen? I heard you were on the morning show yesterday. You hopped on with them and you talked about. So the latest one is ESPN has him at ninth, right? So they had him at ninth, and that was this one is, to me, the most interesting list because it's the coaches, executive scouts. It's not just like some guy on some network making a list. This is, you know, people's real opinion about how they evaluate the quarterbacks. What did you make of him being ninth?
So I would have him higher. I think when you're making a list, including Jalen Hurts, I think he either has to be second or fifth. If you want to do second, because he has a Super Bowl and the other three quarterbacks don't, the Lamar, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, then I think you put him second. Or if you just want to do off of, like, pure talent, I think he's fifth, because I think those four are probably better, but he has a better resume. Ninth, to me, makes no sense, because he does have something Jared Goff doesn't have. He has lots of things Justin Herbert don't have. He belongs ahead of them when you are ranking in totality, when you are taking into account talent and resume. Jalen belongs ahead of those guys. But I also think we need to take a step back as a city, as a media, as a fan group, and realize that if there was a draft of quarterbacks, that's probably how it would look. Mm-hmm. Maybe he goes ahead of Goff. Maybe there's one or two differences, but he's not going top five. Jalen would not go top five, and Herbert would be drafted ahead of him. That's wrong, in my opinion. Like, I wouldn't do it, but that is what would happen.
Do you make anything of the fact that if you look at lists locally, a lot of it's Jalen Hurts. I mean, you know, like you said, even up to the two range.
Yeah,
like Hugh Douglas.
But then nationally, it's more 6 to 9 range. Not only nationally, but like executives, coaches, scouts, people who are paid to make these kind of decisions.
So it's interesting you bring that up, because I think how you're framing it is not completely wrong, which is locally, maybe we're favoring Jalen Hurts, right? But I think the flip side of that, and I think what is more accurate, is we have a better view of what happens with Jalen. Mm-hmm. They don't watch Jalen every week. They see the highlight plays, which, let's be honest, with Jalen and the Eagles are mostly running plays, right? He has some really nice throws occasionally, but I think that for the most part, if you're just a national person watching the Eagles, you're seeing Saquon, you're seeing the defense, right?
Push.
Not seeing it as much. But the other thing that I don't think Jalen gets enough credit for nationally is the perception that he walked into a great situation. Mm. We were all here in 2020, how ugly that was for him. We were also all here in 2021 when we were saying all he has is Devontae, and that's it. He didn't really have anybody else. So while Jalen didn't trade for AJ and he didn't draft Devontae, he was here before those guys, and the Eagles were not a good team until Jalen Hurts became their starting quarterback. So I do think you're right. We probably favor him a little locally, but I think that's because we have a more informed opinion of his importance to the team.
So I was thinking about the players that were listed ahead of him on that ESPN list. I think the top four, we all understand, right? They've been doing it for is either as long or longer in terms of Allen and Mahomes and Lamar. But the other guys ahead of him, the one that's the most interesting to me is Jaden Daniels, right? Because he came in the same year as Herbert, and Jalen's accomplished more, right? Herbert might be more talented, Jalen's accomplished more. I get that.
Yeah.
Goff, he's accomplished more, and Goff's older.
More than Daniels.
No, Jalen's accomplished more than Goff.
Agreed.
And Goff's older than him.
Yep,
so
agreed.
I think Jalen should be ahead of Goff right now.
Agreed.
Stafford's accomplished more, but he's way older. Mm-hmm. So that one is kind of a different realm. What do you make of the Jaden Daniels one? Because that is the most interesting one to me. Because if the scouts and executives are right, then we have a disadvantage in the division at quarterback for a long time. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, so there's a lot with Jaden Daniels. First is, let's see him do it again. We saw Jalen have a great 2022, stepped back in 2023,
yep.
readjusted, and then however you want to define his play last year, it was certainly better than it was in 2023. And he won the Super Bowl, so clearly he rebounded from that. This time last year, C.J. Stroud, I would guess, was pretty high on some of these lists.
He was probably top 10 in most lists.
Yeah, yeah. And he had a down year. Now, it doesn't mean I'm out on C.J. Stroud. I think he's awesome and he'll be good, but he had a down year. Jaden Daniels, it's about can he do it next year? But here's the other thing. I'm pretty sure that Jalen is the only quarterback on that list that wasn't a first-round pick. And I would even go as high as say
of the top nine, yeah, he was. He was.
Well, the 10th was Baker, isn't it?
10th was Baker. Yeah,
yeah, he was the number one pick. So I even think they were all top half of the first round off the top of my head.
Except Lamar, who was the final pick.
You're right. Lamar would be the only one.
Yeah, but I think you're right on that too.
So I do think that the real reason guys like Goff and Herbert go ahead of him is because the most important thing that can happen in a player to a player's career at some point is where he is drafted. It impacts the opportunity you get. It impacts whether you're viewed as having upside. Look at Aziz Ojulari. One of the main things people bring up when we talk about why we're excited about him
is high pick.
Former first-round pick, right? When they signed someone that maybe was on a practice squad, well, he was a former third-round pick, so maybe that's a steal. That's how people view it. What Jalen has had to fight against, that guys like Goff, Herbert, and now Jaden Daniels also – is he was not a high pick. So if if Jalen was drafted where Jaden Daniels was, I think he'd be ranked ahead of him.
Yeah.
But because he wasn't, Jaden Daniels is viewed as having a higher upside than Jalen is.
So I think it's probably like the best point on this whole thing is that these execs, coaches, scouts, whatever, they're just like us and that they want to have the right take.
Yeah.
Like this is just them.
Well, and they scout these guys.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. Like that's them having a take is that this guy is better than this guy.
Right.
This guy was drafted in the second
round.
So
their take for some of them, right? Because they're the reason that these guys got drafted.
Correct.
Where they
did. So this is sort of just them feeding into the fact like this take that I had was right. So it sounds to me like you're a little bit hesitant, kind of like I am, to jump fully in like head first to the Jaden Daniels thing.
No, I think Jaden Daniels is awesome. If I was starting a team with a quarterback, he would be high on my list.
Okay.
But I think there's two different things. There's that, and there's what will he be next
year. Right, so you want to see him do it again. But like, I guess,
I don't think the Eagles are at a disadvantage of quarterback in the division,
okay.
If that
just like
sense.
Without knowing, though, just besides the whole quarterback thing, do you view Washington as the biggest threat to the Eagles in the NFC in general?
I mean, I'm kind of down on Washington. I do think, like, let's see him do it again. And they have the oldest team in the NFL.
I was surprised to see
that. Debo's old, Zach Ertz is old, even
Bobby Wagner.
And they stayed healthy last year, those guys.
Yeah, exactly. And now let's see if Cliff Kingsbury's offense can do it again, mm-hmm. right? But that being said, I mean, if you look around the NFC, the Lions have major questions with two new coordinators. Mm-hmm. We'll see how they are in general. The Packers, I think, are a team we're probably underrating a little. They were good last year. Jordan Love missed time. It wouldn't shock me if at the end of the year, the Eagles and Packers are fighting for that top seed. The Vikings, I like J.J. McCarthy, but he's a rookie quarterback. If they even go with him, maybe they start. I'm blanking on who they signed. But they signed someone, didn't they?
They did.
The Vikings, a quarterback?
I thought they gave... Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, they had Daniel Jones, and then he left for the Colts.
Right. But regardless...
I mean, they have to have someone as his backup.
Well, they have Sam Howell.
No. So yeah,
they traded for Sam Howell. They have a quarterback question. Yeah.
So I guess you would have to say Washington, but I think the real takeaway looking around the conference is I think the Eagles are clearly the top dog.
I noticed you didn't mention the Cowboys. You're just totally dismissing them next season.
I think the Cowboys will be who they normally are with Dak. They'll probably win 9 or 10 games. I'm not super high on the head coach hire. I don't like promoting from within, but I don't view them as legitimate contender. But that being said, I don't think they'll win 5 games either. I think they will be a double digit ish wish team.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm lower on them than you are. I think they're going to win 7 or 8 games.
Well, Dak always wins when he plays in the regular season.
But the NFC's better than it used to be. Like, two of those wins were the Commanders.
Right.
Like, they just beat up.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Dak's record against the Commanders and the Giants is unreal.
I think it's like
20-2, like, in his career. He racks up wins against those teams. And the Giants are what they are. They're still the worst team in the division. Well, maybe a little better.
We were told they'd be Super Bowl champions.
Well,
yesterday.
We had a caller yesterday who said that. But yeah. I will say, I'm in on Jackson Dart. You're in on Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I think Jackson Dart.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Star quality.
Well, then, is this the best
franchise swag?
Well, is this the best the NFC East has been a quarterback in a long time? You're right, that's four quarterbacks that are good.
Yeah, no, I don't think Brian Daboll is a good coach, so that's going to hurt him. But I think, the Giants will be more competent. I mean, we're skipping over Russell Wilson. He will bring a level of competence they didn't have there.
Well, they had DeVito for
I just think we're so quick to want to bury the Cowboys when they have one bad season. When we see
I agree with you.
Year after year, they come back, and when Dak's healthy, they win. And think about it: the schedules in this division, we're all playing a very tough schedule. Now the Cowboys have a third place version of that schedule. Mm-hmm. Like the winner of this division, and I know we're all high off the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, winning 14 games. We could win 11 games next year, and that could be the division winner, but the team right behind us could be a 10-win team, a 9-win team. Like, that's close.
I agree with the premise of what you're saying, but it's important to note that under Nick and Jalen the last 3 years, they have won, 14 games, 11 games, and 14 games. Yeah. And they could have had more wins each of those seasons. It took sitting people the final week, to get to 14 wins.
Yeah.
But then the 11 wins they had an epic collapse. Yeah. So barring something dramatic, I think you will see the Eagles win 11 or 12.
Just knowing what we know now about the schedule, at least, it's the toughest schedule that I think they've had on paper into a season.
So if you guys are right about Dallas and or the Giants, where's the breather?
No, you're right. It's like the Raiders is an easy game. There's not many get-right weeks.
I mean, if we say Dallas and New York are a little bit better than they have been in the recent past, the only breather I see is the Raiders. I mean, maybe are the Bears still bad? I don't know.
No, I think the Bears are not an easy team.
Well, then there's one breather in 17 games.
I agree. It's a very tough schedule.
Yeah.
But they've had, even in 2023, the gauntlet, that's a difference, I think, between the schedule in 23 and the schedule in 25.
It was all packed that year.
In 23, they took a hit and they couldn't get up.
Yeah.
While I agree there's not a ton of catch your breath moments, there's also not a four-game stretch where you look and go, these are all going to be super difficult.
Probably not. All right, Elliot's in with us today. All right, before we get to the list, we'll end with the list. Let's your take on what we started the show with today, which was last night, All-Star game. The NL's up big, and then they blow the lead, and then they, instead of extra innings, they have a swing-off, which they put that rule in a few years ago, but I think everyone forgot because we haven't had extra innings in an All-Star game. And then Kyle Schwarber ends up winning it. He gets the MVP. Elliot, would you be open to real games ending with a swing-off as opposed to the way we do extra innings now?
So first, I think it's time that we all open our mind to the fact that Kyle Schwarber is a better Philly than Bryce Harper, just like for their careers in Philadelphia, right?
Well, he's the star of the
team. He's a bigger star right now.
Harper has bedlam at the bank, without question. But outside of that, I think it's very, very close. So regardless, as someone that is a big fan of the best sport in the world, soccer, that ends with penalty shootouts, the home run swing would be phenomenal. It would be the most exciting thing to happen. If you are just at home on a random summer night and let's say you're not tuned into the Phils, but you hear they're going to a home run swing off, your friends would be texting you. You would be turning on WIP to listen to it. It would be so much more exciting than the watered down extra innings they do now.
I think the one thing you said there that I totally agree with is it would cause a buzz to where you would get messages from your friends like, you see what's going on? They're going to the swing off. You would if you weren't locked in, you're going to get that like, hey, they're going to. In fact, I could see MLB sending out notifications like Yankees, Dodgers heading to a swing off, Cubs, Red Sox heading to a swing off. I think it would just add buzz to baseball.
The other thing, they don't
do that for the zombie runner. Who cares?
The other thing it would do that was the best thing that could happen to the sport is if you think about basketball and football, when the game is on the line, you control who is up there and it creates moments. If we had a home run swing off in extra innings, it would give us Bryce Harper clutch moments, Kyle Schwarber clutch moments, and then across the league, Otani big moments. So ultimately, what I want to see in sports is the best players under pressure in the biggest moments, and that's what this would give you. Now, we could talk about the postseason. I understand maybe you do it different then. But regular season, getting Schwarber or Harper at the plate with imagine Friday night, Citizens Bank Park, they're playing the Mets. It's a huge game. It goes to extras. And Bryce Harper steps to the plate for the swing-off.
Well, think about the other side. Like, they have Lindor and Soto and Alonso.
Right.
And the Phillies are setting up Harper and Schwarber and, I guess, Castellanos.
And there's strategy to it. Like, who do you send up? So right now,
the 10th inning with.
I like
then,
that.
Then you get to go with Harper, Schwarber, whoever, like the meat of your lineup. And then it's still pitcher versus the batter, and you have a defense out there, and you might even have a guy on
what
second.
What if you just abandon the lineup? It's just Harper goes, then he can pick. Then he picks Schwarber. Well, okay, then he picks Castellanos.
They threw that out a few months ago. Then the idea of the golden rule, that was a story.
Yeah, the golden bat.
The golden at bat, right? At one point in the game, you get to pick whoever you want to just go up to the plate.
That at least looks more like baseball to me.
Yeah, and there's some strategy.
This just isn't, it's just not baseball. I'm sorry.
But
I hate to sound like
fun.
The old guy. I know it's
fun. What's more baseball than a home run?
Well, a lot of things.
I think that's the, when you think of baseball, you think of home
run. A home run off some dude that's throwing batting practice? Those guys are like 70 years old out there.
That's the only part where I would agree with you, that the fact that, I mean, the Phillies would send their own guy up, I assume, right, to pitch.
Well, like, yeah, right.
The best thing about sports is, and now I'm really this guy. I sound like Jolly right now. It's competition, though.
You are old.
That's not real competition.
But they did compete, and they ended in a tie.
Yeah, but in such a lame way. Like, if you want to end a Little League game that way, that's fine. But, like, what's the point of having pitchers if they're just useless after the ninth inning?
I just keep going back to, we already have destroyed extra innings. They have a zombie runner.
It's not that destroyed, though. Like, there is a massive difference between a guy starting the inning on second and just abandoning everybody on the field and having them swing home runs off of a 50-mile-an-hour
pitch. But the runner on second is designed just to end the game quickly. They just want people to score quickly.
But also, just remove the competition part of it. What would you rather see? Like, you, Kyle. If you're at a Phillies game, which would you enjoy
I would rather
more?
See baseball. I actually love when games go to extra innings. It's free baseball. Like, I like watching the sport. Like, the home runs are
getting
great.
The chance to see the best players have to win games is worth giving that up for.
But I also think the novelty of it wears off a little bit when, because it was great to see it last night in the All-Star game. I loved it. The game didn't matter. But I made this point earlier, and I wonder if people would change their tune a little bit on this whole thing, because we've had a few calls today. People excited about the idea of maybe adding this to a real game. What if that was for home field advantage last night? And like, I feel like
then Schwarber gave the Phillies home field advantage in the World Series.
No, but so people around here locally are like, "Wow, that's great." But like, I'm just picturing myself walking in here the day after one of those home run derby things, and I'm thinking, "Man, like our best bullpen guys were available after the ninth inning. We didn't even get to use them." Like, and all of a sudden we have Kyle Schwarber, Max Weenie Kepler, Alec Bohm up there.
You are getting your best hitters up, though.
Yeah, maybe,
so
sure.
Right that you're not utilizing the bullpen, but you are using your best
hitters. But I could be coming in here the next day saying, like, man, if only that were a normal way to end a baseball game, I would have felt like we had a better chance in this.
Yeah,
like,
maybe. I get that. I mean, we're probably going to come in here anyway and say Topper's a moron for not bunting the runner over.
Right.
And I mean, it's just, it's the same thing, just in a different way we get
they
upset.
They can't do that either, by the way.
Well, I know they can't do that. All right, Elliot, while we have you, before we end our segment here. So it's top five quarter century week, right? Top five athletes in Philadelphia the last quarter century, which is a challenging list to make.
And it's incredibly hard.
It really, so I just keep realizing as I see the votes come in, someone great will be left off. It's just, there's too many, right? There's too many great ones. Elliot, you put out your different lists with different sports. But we need, while you're with us today, because we're doing a different team each day, right? Uh-huh. Yesterday we went over the Eagles, and we're going to get to the Phillies tomorrow. But we need your Sixers list, because I saw it yesterday, and I just kept shaking my head. Not that I was really upset at you. It was more the Sixers I was upset at, that this is what it came down to. Give us your top five Sixers last 25 years.
So the Sixers, it was actually embarrassing how hard it was to come up with five players. So I think there's two obvious ones, which is Allen Iverson and Joel Embiid.
Yes.
They're clearly on it. Then it is Ben Simmons and Andre Iguodala. Just in terms of accomplishments and players that played at a high level, Ben Simmons was Rookie of the Year. They won a ton of games with him. He was one of the top, I don't know, 25-ish players in the league at one point, probably. You could argue maybe even a little higher. He gets on the list. And then for the fifth one, I put Tyrese Maxey just because he's an all-star. You know, he's had big playoff moments. I briefly thought about Mutombo, Aaron McKee, George Lynch. Like, you could make arguments for those guys, but I think Maxey's better than them, so that would be my five. But it's not an impressive five at all.
Maxey was the one that was on the cusp for you and not Ben Simmons?
Well, Ben Simmons was easier. Definitely on it.
No, it can't be.
It
can't be.
I'm thinking about banning him from everybody's list.
Now, you cannot like him. I understand that.
Yeah, I can't stand him.
But no, I get that. Now, I do think his time here has aged better than it did at the time. He's probably going to end up being the best teammate Joel has ever had, and probably the most successful teammate they'll have had together.
What a disaster.
It just is what it is. Well, we can say it's not enough.
No, Maxey's going to end up his best teammate.
Hold on.
Maxey.
Well, but Embiid will only end up playing with 1 year of legit
Maxey. Well, that's Embiid's health issues.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
By successful teammate, you mean the guy who had the most success with Joel Embiid? Or like the best.
Like okay. Now James Harden, I think played at a higher level.
And Jimmy Butler too.
Yeah. I agree. But in terms of longevity, and he won an award. Like he won Rookie of the Year.
I mean, who cares?
Okay, well, Tyrese Maxey didn't win it. James Harden didn't win anything here. Jimmy Butler didn't win anything here.
I know, but Rookie of the Year?
He was an All-Star multiple times.
Now, All-Star, that hits in the NBA.
Hold on. But don't dismiss Rookie of the Year. That's a legitimate award.
Michael Carter Williams won Rookie of the Year.
And Michael Carter Williams was awesome that year.
But that year.
But it also depends on your rookie class. Some years, there's great players, and they're off to a good start. Some years, like, you're the guy.
Now, he does have a little bit of an asterisk on his, because he wasn't
a big time. He's not an actual rookie.
Yeah. All right, well, you tell me three Sixers that belong on it over him.
I had a few.
All right. I'll give you mine. Kyle, I'll give you his. My five were Iverson and Embiid, obviously.
Yes.
I thought Iguodala was the lock third.
Yeah, I'm good with Iggy.
Okay,
yeah.
then four and five. I also put Tyrese Maxey on. I was with you. Now, I didn't know what to do, but I feel like Maxey's had enough moments, and he's going to continue to be here, which I think matters long term.
Drafted here, I think.
The fifth one I put on is Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday made an All-Star game as a Sixer.
Yeah, but what did Drew... See, here's my thing with Iguodala and Drew to an extent. What are we remembering them for? The one series
they got as far as Ben and Joel.
But let's be honest, they were not nearly as good, right? They were not nearly as good, those teams, as these Sixers teams were. And they only got out of the first round because Derrick Rose got hurt, unfortunately. That's the only reason they got out.
The Sixers beat the Raptors to get out of the first round, and the Wizards.
They still beat, and they finished higher to play those worst teams.
I know, but
the Sixers with Joel and Ben were way better than they were with Iguodala and Drew Holiday, and it's not even close.
They went as far.
I know, but we know that they were better teams.
They had better chances.
They had way better chances. They were a top four seed consistently. They were, I think, the number one seed.
We're mad at them because they squandered the big opportunities that they put themselves in positions to have. Now,
Drew Holiday over Ben Simmons.
Drew Holiday's most memorable thing with the Sixers is getting traded.
It's fine.
Okay, well, at least Ben's memories are on the court.
Well, Ben's biggest memory with the Sixers is probably refusing to dunk and being a catalyst for losing that series against the 8-seed Hawks.
All right, Kyle, you're five.
All right, my five Sixers: Iverson, Embiid, Maxey, Iguodala, and I was considering just putting Redacted in the fifth spot.
Honestly, I almost put Larry Brown.
So, because I'm not putting Ben Simmons. I thought about Mutombo. Defensive player of the year, but he was only here for really half a year.
Yeah.
But again, was in the finals with the Sixers. I probably reached a peak that Ben Simmons, I don't think ever did while playing with the Sixers in just that 1 year. I would even put Jimmy Butler over Ben Simmons.
For half a season?
Yes. I'm putting
Jimmy Butler wasn't that great in the playoffs.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. But that team.
What did he have, like 11 or 12 points in that game seven?
That team that lost to the Raptors, though, now granted, Ben Simmons was on it. But that one, I think, is like the best iteration, or at least...
Well, didn't Jimmy have the breakaway steal to score before the Kawhi shot?
So I think the year they lost to the Hawks was probably the best team, but I don't disagree the Raptors year was...
Lou Will had some fun years here.
Lou Will's a good one. Yeah.
Thaddeus Young deserves some consideration.
I almost had Thaddeus Young.
Thaddeus Young was a good player.
But again, the guys we're talking about here, like when I was doing the Eagles, you could legitimately pick 15 guys.
Yeah.
That would be...
The Sixers is very hard.
Here's a thought I had doing these lists, though. Is Brian Dawkins' stature with the team falling slightly? Because I found myself I would just be like, all right, Dawkins, obviously, right? But then you would look, and now he's a Hall of Fame player. He's an outstanding player. But there are so many Eagles that have rings now. It is harder just to give him a spot.
May I spoil something? I have been getting a lot of the votes from our staff here, right? They're sending me their lists. And you put yours out, and people are sending me their lists, and they're not putting them out. So I'm seeing them all. Brian Dawkins is not on everyone's list.
Yeah.
He's not. And I haven't seen the fan votes yet, but we'll get those at the end of the week. I think he's going to make the top five, but I wouldn't call it a lock.
Well, the other main thing I had in sitting down and doing this, and it was fun to sit down and remember, is we are, without question, living in the golden age of Philly sports.
Yes.
People always get mad at me because when I make these lists, it's always people from 2000 on.
They're better.
This is the best era.
Yeah,
for
it's the best era. I think in terms of now the Phillies obviously had won before 2000. Mm-hmm. The Eagles didn't really win anything prior to 2000 in the modern era, at least. The Sixers, you could argue, may be better, but I think just in terms of the Eagles and the Phillies and the Stars, I mean, I think it's not even close.
That era with Dawkins, our guy Hugh, all those guys, they're now like squarely in the second best. Or you could argue even the third if you don't want to put the 2017 team.
So I get your point.
If you don't want to package that with the...
It's interesting.
Because I feel like the 22 and 24 team are very different than the 2017 team. So you could even argue that's its own era. Then 2004, this might ruffle some feathers here. It just kind of becomes a cute little run.
So only thing I'll say is I think the 2000 to 2004 Eagles were more impressive and better.
Probably.
Than the team.
Yeah,
that,
no.
The Super Bowl team had 1 year, which was obviously outstanding.
17,
but then
yeah.
18, 19, and 20, they were awful.
Yeah. But they won.
Sustained
it.
Success is what I think is like the most impressive thing to me. And that's what the early 2000 Eagles did. And the,
I was just trying
do you want my top five overall? Or I mean, Friday, I can save it.
No, yeah. Save it for Friday. We'll do it Friday. You were in with us Friday?
I'm in with you, Friday.
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
Okay,
Yeah. We'll do that then. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. And I'm not upset at you. I'm upset at the Sixers that Ben Simmons
is there. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it really is. All right, 215-592-9494. Elliot back with us on Friday. Your Sixers list. Ben Simmons, does he even deserve consideration for the top five Sixers of the last 25 years? And the swing off, would you be open to it ending real games? It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.